talk about let your kingdom come. We are getting to the last quarter of the month that takes us to Christmas. But today, as a bridging sermon to the next quarter, we are going to talk about let your kingdom come. Now, we all desire to have a beautiful world. And indeed, this is the ambition of all of us. We want a world to be a beautiful place for us all. We desire a change on things we think are not right. Because we desire a wonderful place. We desire a wonderful, a beautiful world. Nevertheless, what we get may not be necessarily what we expect. Now, we live in a country where we expect goodness, justice, and equity to be prevailing. But that is not what we get. We have a church. You have your own expectations about the church. You know, you have a family. You come from a family. You have the expectations there. You would rather you have a beautiful family. If you are married, you even want to perfect the description of your marriage. Happily married. Because that is the ambition of all of us. In our own lives, we desire straightness. We desire some good to come our way. It's an ambition of all of us. In the relationships we are in today, in our lives, we desire that things will go well. And I think this is a good ambition. And God, most importantly, agrees with that. Because when the Bible says, let your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth that is in heaven, it means that God indeed wills that we have a good life. And that's what he said through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of good and not evil. And so God desires that we have that good life. God desires that we have a good future. And that's why his kingdom is a prayer item of every day. May your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, having said that, as I mentioned, we want justice to prevail. You know, we want things to go right. We want our relationships to work out. We want governments that are people-oriented. We want churches that are warm and with the presence of God. Now, all these ambitions represent the reign of God. Because if God is reigning, then justice is reigning. If God is reigning, then things have to go right because God is right. If the kingdom of God is blessed, if the kingdom of God is reigning, then the leaders, those who walk in the corridors of power, will only do that which God desires of them. And they know as they lead the people, one day they will give an account before the Almighty God. And so the kingdom of God is about all these things, all these ambitions that we desire. And when we pray, let your kingdom come, we are actually saying, let things happen as you will. Because God wills that we may prosper. God wills that things may work right for us. God wills that everything will go according to his will. Now, Luke 17:21, which is part of our reading today, Jesus said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he's trying to tell people who say, the kingdom of God is there. Or the kingdom of God is over the other side. He says, no, the kingdom of God is not external. The kingdom of God is within you. So that means the reign of God is realized through you and me. The reign of God is realized through me and you. So God sends us into the world because we are agents or ambassadors of his reign. So God is not looking at anyone else apart from you. The reign of God is manifested here on earth through us, his sons and daughters, his people. And that's why God therefore sends us into the whole world to become agents or carriers or ambassadors of his reign. And this is very, very important, people. Now, so if the kingdom of God is within us, it's not far away. You don't have to search it far away. It is light within you. Then if the kingdom of God is within us, then we need to pray that God will open our eyes so that we can see it. We need to pray that God will open our ears so that we can hear it. We need to pray that God will open our hearts so that we can believe in it. We need to pray that God will open our hands so that we can serve his kingdom. And this becomes a noble prayer for us to call upon the reign of God. It's not far away. It is within us. So we need to pray for an awareness of the same in our lives. Now, for us to serve the kingdom of God here on earth, then we must be selfless. And that is the call we receive. If we are to become agents of God, if we are to become ambassadors of the reign of God in this world, then we have been invited to dethrone the self, therefore becoming selfless. And that is what we call love, because the kingdom of God is about love. So if you're invited into the kingdom of God, you're invited into a kingdom of love. And that means you cannot afford to be selfless. So making a world a bad place requires selfish attitude. And I think to Kenyans, this is not unique. We live in a bad place sometimes. When you drive in the streets, you have people who are very selfish. So to have a bad world, you require bad attitude. But making the world a better place requires a selfless attitude. If the world you are living in will become beautiful, then you need not to think about yourself alone, but to think about the others. No wonder the Bible says, in everything that you do, consider others better than yourself. The world is a bad place today because it is full of selfish people. People who are thinking about themselves alone. But the kingdom of God is not about that. The kingdom of God is about love. In other words, when you come to God, God points you to others. You cannot afford to be selfish in this kingdom of love. So the kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. Now, this is interesting, and I find it very interesting. Look at this, friends. Now, God sends us back. In other words, you can become an answer to your own prayer. Now, we run away from hunger as much as possible. To some people, they will do anything possible to make sure they don't go hungry. Not even the hunger, we know it in places like Turkana, like missing a lunch. It becomes a huge issue. And somebody will say, I've not taken lunch. Because we are very keen on that. So we run as much as possible from hunger. We run away from hunger. But you know what? God sends us back to the hungry. You are running, on the one hand, you are running away from hunger. On the other hand, God sends you to the hungry. We run away from disease and sickness. We do so much to keep fit. You know, the pedestrian walkways are full of people doing their evening walks. The streets are full of people running in the morning. You know, nutritionists are serious, you know, making diet programs for people because we want to live healthy, which is okay. But the truth is, as you run away from sickness and disease, God sends you to the sick. He sends you back to the sick. We run away from our small cubicles to huge residences. You know, we want to live a good life, and we live in a society where the value of people is determined by what they own and have. And we love people not because of who they are, but because of what they have. And people work very hard, which is okay to live in big houses. You know, to run away from that bedsitter. You know, and if you get it to two rooms, you thank God you are doing very well. It's okay. But the truth is, even as you do that, God sends you back to the homeless. We run away from nakedness by building rich wardrobes. If we were to ask you how many pair of shoes you have for the ladies, perhaps you would open a shop the next day. If we ask you how your wardrobe is, how many shirts do you have? Your wardrobe is rich. But as you run away from nakedness, God sets you back to those that are naked. We run away from unpleasant relationships and build loving families. And that is a good thing. We work very hard to maintain the family cohesion. You know, to keep the oneness in the family, which is a good thing. But as you do that, God sends you to people whose relationships are hurting. No, we run away from poverty and need, but God sends you back to the poor. We run away from the wrong side of the law, which is a good thing, but God sends us to those who are victims of that law in prisons. God sends you back. And this is the kingdom of love, the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. This is the kingdom of God, where God sends you back to the hungry, where God sends you back to the thirsty, where God sends you back to the sick, where God sends you back to those in prison. So as you pray and send God to Kenyatta after the last amen, God tells you, it's okay. Now go to the same place. I was sick, but you did not come to visit me. So when you get in, do not forget those you left outside. Very important. Before I give you the biblical examples, let me give you an example. It must have been 2011 when Leverett Fury gave us this story. He said one day he was struggling in life like all of us. And he was hungry. It was around lunchtime and he was walking in the streets of Nairobi. And he passed by Kimathi House because there was a Wimpy outlet there. Now, when I say Wimpy, some people are wondering, what is that? Now, how many people can remember Wimpy? The old folk would remember. Eric, now you need to sit with. Now, Wimpy. Now, he told us that he was passing by Wimpy, and of course, it had its own class, and would see men in white shirts and suits, and he knew certainly the difference between him and them is not just the glass. He knew that, and he desired. And he told us, he heard the voice of God telling him, one day I'll bless you to go in. But when you go in, don't forget the people outside there. And that was powerful, people. It was powerful. And this is what the Bible tells us. I have two biblical examples. The first one, Luke 23:42. That thief that was nailed next to the Lord. He said, Lord, when you get into your kingdom, do not forget me. When you get in, please don't forget me who is outside. And Jesus says, indeed, today you'll be with me in paradise. The Old Testament example we have is Genesis chapter 40, when Joseph was put into jail. And at all that time, the Bible says the cupbearer, the man who was mixing the wine for the king, the Pharaoh, and the baker had made their master angry, and they were sent to that prison. And that night, they had dreams that disturbed them. And in the morning, they looked perturbed and disturbed. And Joseph went to them and said, today you look different. What is going on? And when they explained the dream to them, Joseph explained to them what the dreams meant. And then Joseph made a request. He told the cupbearer, because you are next to the king or to the master, please, when you go there, remember to mention my name. When you get in, don't forget me who is outside. And the cupbearer indeed forgot to mention Joseph. And that's what we do all the times. We forget where we have come from. So God is telling us this morning, brothers and sisters, when you get in, do not forget those that are outside. Remember them and become an agent to bring them in. If God has fed you, feed someone. If God has uplifted you, uplift someone. If God has grown you, grow someone. If God has opened a door for you, if it is within your capacity, open a door for someone. May you become an agent of a godly possibility. And as I end, God is sending you back. You are where you are because of others. You are not self-made. You are not self-contained. You need other people. Some of us are where we are because people have been patient with us. May you be patient with other people. Some of us are where we are because people have helped us. We are beneficiaries of help. May you also be an agent of help to another person. You are where you are because people cared for you. Don't forget it. Care for other people. And I remember I saw a clip. I wish I had it here for you. I saw it on one of the social media platforms about a girl who comes from a rich family. And he was introducing the young man who was to marry her. And this guy was late for dinner. And the father was becoming agitated, a rich man. And this guy came with an apron because he worked in a university sweeping and cleaning. So when the father of this girl saw the man, he was not amused. He said, "How do you dare to come to me this way?" He said, "I came this way because I was late in work. I had no time to change and I needed to catch up for this dinner date." And the father was very mean and rude to the young man. And the wife sat down with the man and reminded him, "When you met me, you used to do the same work. You cannot dare treat this guy that way." And the father was touched and he went back, he put on an apron, he went back to the university, found this guy sweeping and he started helping him. You know, because he came back to his senses. Because this is great, people. You are there where you are because you have a history. So if you find people who are where you are, don't harshly judge them. Be an agent of the reign of God. God is sending you back. And friends, if you look around you today, you're going to discover you are in somewhere. And because you are in, God is telling you, look outside. Not to wonder what other people are doing outside, but to think of how to bring them in as well. To the glory of God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.